So do it yourself or DIY is a spectrum. But no matter where clients lie on the spectrum, they need to be put in their freaking place. Some clients are true DIYers, and they'll go so far as to actually unwind trades that you did and want to do things like tell you how to manage the money, all right? And others are just kind of like backseat drivers who, like, maybe they have somebody in their family or somebody that they know who gives them stock advice, and they just feel like they want to have a say in everything that you do in the portfolio, all right? But either way, it doesn't matter, because either way, it's bad. So let me just be very clear. These are bad clients, okay? These are the hardest clients to get. And once you get them, they're almost impossible to keep happy. So it's not going to work unless you rule these clients with an iron fist in the beginning of the relationship. You have to establish dominance in the beginning of the relationship. That you're the driver and they're the passenger. That you're the alpha and they are the beta. Types of clients that have a high likelihood of being a DIY client. Okay, so I'm going to cover, you're talking to some of these people that as prospects, just so you know, they're probably going to be DIY clients. These are DIY prospects. They're going to be DIY clients. If you have these clients, then they probably are DIY clients. Maybe just don't recognize it. So anyone who's a CFA charter holder, now I myself am a CFA charter holder. The reason that no one manages my money, and up until this, it became impossible for me to advise people in my family. I was managing money for my family as well. But in the pandemic, having four kids in a business, it just became a bridge too far. So I actually did tell people in my family they needed to find a financial advisor. But up until then, these people were DIY clients. And even going into it, I'm going to be involved with their the management of their money. I'm going to be a party in all of the meetings, et cetera. So we are probably going to be a little bit one of these DIY clients. Sorry, I'm a CFA charter holder. I studied for it. I have an MBA. I studied statistics and math and economics. And I'm going to set the bar pretty high when it comes to what people are going to be allowed to do with my family's money. Period. Okay. Right or wrong, I'll confess it. I'm a DIYer myself. Or anyone who has a CFP in the family, anyone who has a financial advisor in the family, probably going to be a DIY client. Okay. Anyone who works at a high tech company, these people tend to be very technical. They a lot of times have money wrapped up in their 401k that they're doing themselves, you know, like Intel, Cisco, Microsoft, right? Some of these employees, a lot of these executives, even the higher paid ones, when they get to be really high paid, a lot of times they do want to have somebody because they need help with concentrated positions and taxes and getting out of that, right? But these clients are very difficult if it's just a, you know, like average earning, like, you know, not super high wealth individual with high needs. These people do tend to slip into DIYerness, okay? Any kind of a former or current employee of a financial firm of any type, it doesn't matter if it's like a credit card payment firm, okay? Like they still see it as like, oh, I'm a financial guru. I know everything about money, okay? Anyone who works at a bank, used to work at a bank, anyone who reads Seeking Alpha, these people are DIYers. A good one. I'm adding it to the, I'm typing it as I speak now here, right? Anyone who reads Seeking Alpha, that's a DIY site. A lot of the people on there, if you're meeting people through Seeking Alpha, just know you're going to have to wrangle for control, okay? Anyone who has more than $1 million but has been managing it themselves for 2 years plus. So if your clients or prospects or any of these people, if they meet the criteria above, you have to be hard. And I mean, you have to be hard, okay? Clients must respect you. This is very important. If you let them walk all over you in the beginning, you will get used and abused chewed up and spit up. Can you stop moving that, please? Thank you. Chewed up and spit out over the course of the relationship. Meaning, expect to be blown off. You spend your hard-earned time and money on them, devote attention and care to them, and they're just not even going to listen to what you say. Okay? Expect to be blown off. Expect them to argue with everything that you say. Expect them to be constantly creating more work for you. Expect them to look at you like a servant or a butler, okay? Also, can you stop ripping that, please? Okay. Expect them to fault you for bad performance when they, not you, were the ones messing things up all of the time. So financial advisors, if you're dealing with DIY clients, I want you to respect yourself and not tolerate this BS. You have to stand up to them and call them out on this nonsense. So I'm going to tell you the specific things that you need to do. I'm going to tell you this is going to be very hard for many of you because you've been brainwashed by this industry and all these nicey-nicey management consultants or whoever that just want to sell you a yoga retreat and will tell you, like, you know how you can't argue with anybody and you have to agree with everything everybody says, okay? And like peacefulness and mindfulness and purposefulness or like whatever this hippie movement is, okay? I'm gonna save you the $6,000. You don't have to go on the retreat. I'm gonna tell you right now how to act. It's very simple. There are three things. But before I tell them to you, I want you to know that you're gonna have to be willing to cut these bad clients loose if need be. That will mean you are going to have to be able to attract prospects to yourself easily. Having other options that you know you can go to is the only way that you'll be able to refrain from having to act like this pleaser or butler that many of you have fallen into. So number one, make the DIY prospect chase you. So during the prospecting phase, you have to allow the DIY client to pursue you, okay? You have to let them do 80% of the calling, the texting, the emailing, the wanting to meet, all of this. Because if you pursue these clients too heavily, they, again, are going to view you as the servant. They're going to look at it that they're doing you a favor, and they're just going to give you breadcrumbs of respect, okay? So you have to make sure that they want it, they want to work with you, and that they want it badly. So let them be in control of taking initiative to move it along during the prospecting phase. Now, during the meeting, you absolutely have to cut to the chase. Don't talk about yourself too much because they're not going to listen. You're starting from a position of low or no respect. So you talking about how great you are and your team is and all your credentials and you've been in the business for 20 years is just going to fall on deaf ears with them. You need to talk about the pain points, the points of value, and it shouldn't just be one or two. It should be an entire list. It should be a list, okay? It shouldn't just be that you have access to awesome private equity funds that they can't get on their own. It shouldn't just be that you have awesome performance that, by the way, none of you can prove anyways because you all give the line like, oh, this is a customized portfolio. There's no composite because every portfolio is different. I know the line y'all say, right? And that's okay, but just know that performance, like we will get you awesome performance, is not going to work with these people because they think that they are the gifted one, okay? So the other thing is you have to actually visually represent this. You have to make a chart or make a diagram to illustrate to them what they need you for. You have to really spell it out, okay? Get a whiteboard and write it all down during the meeting. Get a piece of paper and write it all down. Send it to them as follow-up. For example, if you're talking about financial planning, don't just talk about it in vague terms. Give them a sample financial plan to look over in the meeting. But then take it back before they leave. As you recall, these DIY clients will copy everything, okay? So if you give, like, you cannot give them any handouts, no economic outlook, no brochures, nothing. If they ask you for it, just say, I'll give it to you once you become a client. Okay, just describe it and be like, ah, sorry, we don't, the printer isn't working. Like, just don't give them anything, nothing of that they could use to possibly replicate your service, because if you do that, then they will. Okay, so continuing about the financial plan, you have to describe to them what every single component of the plan will be. Be like, oh yeah, tax planning, is that good for you? Yes, it, okay, check. Cash flow budgeting. Is that of interest to you? Oh, hey, it is. Yes, check. Financial plan, retirement planning. Are you going to retire? You are? Okay, check. College planning. You have kids? Or are you going to be going to college? They are? Okay, check. Okay. If they ask for references, blatantly say no. Just say no. Mystery creates obsession. If they do call these clients of yours, they're just going to make a bad impression, and nothing that your current client could say anyways is really going to impress them. There's no point. Saying no, this is key. You have to say the word no. It will make them more intrigued. Tell them that you are only open to giving references after the person signs up and after they ACAP the money over, okay? Tell them that you need to Pershing's confirmation before you can actually provide references to them. And it has to be a month after the Pershing confirmation comes in, then the money's ACAT'd over. Also, I want you to restrict any marketing content. Like I said, don't be putting them on your newsletter list. Don't be connecting to them on LinkedIn. That is playing right into their hands. And also, play a little bit of the scarcity game. Tell them that you only have a few spots left. This is a limited time offer. And, you know, that you have a wait list, and maybe even like go that route. Be like, well, you know, a spot just freed up off of the wait list. I'm not sure, you know, someone might be taking it, whatever. Okay. You must be pursued by the DIY client. That's the only way to go to avoid being regarded as the butler. Okay. So now let's say that they do express interest and they want to have a second meeting. And so they, you know, they're sitting there in the meeting with you and they're like, yeah, we want to move forward. Yes, I'm still doing my podcast, okay? All right. So understand that right up front, you have to do what I call the DIY declaration. There is no beating around the bush with these clients. There's no pleasantries. There's no, like, you know, overjoyed like expression on your face that they're going to sign up. Just be like, okay, that's great. They say, oh, we want to work with you. Okay, that's great. But you keep in mind what you're going to do now is you're going to crush them. This is the key moment. Okay. You have to crush them right away before anything, they get the chance to surge up with any of these DIY urges. Okay. So you have to say these words. Are you ready? I'm going to tell you the words to say. I look forward to working together. But I just want to be very clear that I'm not going to be your personal butler. We are not co-managers of this portfolio. If this is not what you want, then I'm prepared to sever all ties, walk away, and not look back. Let me know what you want to do. And then if they say, oh yeah, you know, we wanted to work together, that, you know, like you said, like, you know, you can manage the money. We're not, you know, they'll say something like, oh, I'm too busy. That's why I came to you. They're not, they don't trust easily. They're not going to trust you. So just draw the very, you know, clear line and just understand that whatever BS they say is not going to have any meaning in reality because they're too distrustful and, you know, no one can do it better than them. So they're going to be second guessing every move. Just squash it before it starts. So the third thing, okay, is after they say, oh no, they're going to say, oh no, you know, I just don't have any time. I need to like do this. I need to hire somebody. I have no other option, whatever, like they're BS they're going to say. Then you have to come out with some DIY pricing. This is the third component. Now, I know you advisors aren't creative with anything, and especially pricing. It has to be the same as it's always been, and nothing can be any different from the other advisors or anyone else in the industry. But if you're working with DIY clients that are, you know, meeting the definition of DIY, then the simple fact is that it's just not fair to the good clients. If you're spending so much time on a DIY relationship, it's going to become unprofitable relative to other clients that are more profitable, in which case the good clients are subsidizing or paying for the bad clients. And how is that fair to anybody? It's not. So here's what you're going to tell them, okay, about pricing. Now, we have two options for working together. One is the typical model in which I am the portfolio manager and financial advisor. You have no say in the decisions that happen because they happen according to our models. The normal fee schedule on my website applies in this scenario. However, if it becomes the case that you feel like you want to co-manage the portfolio and be involved in every single decision that I make, then we can work together differently. You can ask me unlimited questions and we can research the trades together. I will simply charge you $30,000 per month because that is the cost of my firm's time and the expenses associated with taking on an engagement of this type. Which option would you choose? And then just kind of smile and nod at them and wait and see what they say. So yes, you will have to amend your ADV if you're offering option number two, the DIY pricing. But another thing is you want to just tell them that if they sign up for the normal service and then start treating you like their personal butler, then you'll be in touch with them about transferring them to model number two, DIY pricing, which will cost them 30 grand a month. So I hope that this podcast was helpful. You know, feel free to just let me know what you think of it. And I hope you should give it a try, because all of us should just be putting those DIY clients in their place on a regular basis. It's like you got to do it in the beginning, but you just got to keep constantly doing it over and over and over again until they eventually submit and relent and understand that they're not wiggling out of servitude to you, okay? Try it. DIY clients, put them in their place.